every hour, every day, from here to the grave, unknown. Take my hand, let me stand where no one stands alone. Hold my hand all the way, and every day from here to the grave, I know. Sing that chorus again. Hold my hand all the way, every hour and every day, from here to the grave, unknown. Take my hand and sing it again with all your heart. Yes, hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the great unknown. Praise the Lord. How many of you want Him to take your hand and hold on to it every step of the way? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now why don't you just turn around and shake somebody's hand, give them a big nice smile and tell them you're glad to see them in church today. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it again now. Hold my hand. Why don't you give the Lord a big hand clap of praise? You love Him with all your heart this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't it so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Was the word of the Lord outstanding? Did we have camp meeting on Saturday night here last night? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now give the Lord another big hand clap of praise. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request this morning. Brother Randy and Sister Rachel sends this in to the library. Brother Randy Scott says to please remember the son of a friend of ours. His name is Dominique, and he has an infection in the bone in his leg. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request this morning. Sister Ruth Ann sends this in. My cousin requested that her son, Carter, be put on our prayer list. He desperately needs the Lord in his life. We just commit that unto the Lord. Brother Bean sends us in for Destiny and Bentley. They're both sick with coughs and ear infections, so we will remember that need today. Brother George Hamlin sends this in to please pray for a retired co-worker, C.H. Creamer. He is having surgery on Wednesday, and they're asking that we would remember that prayer request. We want to continue to remember Brother Jack Roberts as we pray today. A lot of just flu and things going through the congregation and workplaces and different things. Well, we just want to trust in the Lord that He'll keep us. Is that right? If you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about, now do you believe that we're serving a prayer-answering God? Are you committed and concerned and know in your heart that whatever you ask Him, if you need it, He's big enough to give it to you? He didn't say He'd get everything you wanted, but He did say He'd supply all your needs. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Brother Rob, come this morning. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service. We'll commit these requests unto our Lord. We know He's able to meet the needs of His children today. God bless you. God bless you. Appreciate you. God bless you.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day that you have created, the day for us to go ahead and come together as one body. Lord, oneness is what you desire, and that's what we want as well. Thank you, Lord, for these prayer requests that are in my hand, Lord, opportunities for you to manifest yourself in a way in this world that so strong and so powerful, Lord, is the power of the Lord is just something so different than your grace. I pray, Lord, that you come into us, Lord, this day. We cannot live this life without you. It is you living through us, Lord, to make it possible, Lord, to be a message of the anointed word of this day, Lord. Let the light shine upon us, Lord. Help our thoughts to be thoughts of you, good thoughts, heavenly thoughts, Lord, things that would change us, change our bodies, change our souls and our spirits, Lord, I pray. Help us to be refilled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost this day, Lord. Let the scripture be fulfilled in our ears. Help us, Lord, be one with thy loving mercy and kindness, Lord. Let grace abound. Let the faith of God move through the building, and let this be the day the scripture is fulfilled in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and we're so thankful. Amen.
Come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome all of you. Glad to have you. Want to welcome some folks visiting from Pennsylvania this morning. Brother Dan and Sister Pat Francinelli, they're right here. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. We're certainly glad to have these folks. Give them a nice hand this morning. Any other visitor, we're just glad to have you. And Brother Rob's mother is again with us in the service today. And well, we've done filled out adoption papers on you. You're just one of us now. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Give her a nice hand this morning. And if you're visiting and I failed to call your name, we're certainly glad to have you here. All you home folks, it's kind of good to see you this morning too. Amen. Taz and Teresa here in the service today. Just precious friends. And give Taz and Teresa a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Brother Wes Willis wanted this announcement made. The sign-up sheet for the seats on the bus for the Louisiana camp, they're in the library. Please sign up as soon as possible so we can reserve the bus to go to camp. You must be turning 13 this year.
Registration sheets are online at Brother Tim Pruitt's website. So remember that. Those sheets are available for you over in the library. If you care to go online, you can do that also. But do that as quickly as possible so they can get a head count to see how many A bus or buses they'll need. I think we took two last year. Is that right? So, well, the number just keeps going. I believe this. I believe he's coming back just like he said. I saw something the other day that says that the Bible and the Constitution, they all need to be adapted. They need to be changed. This guy was saying that the Bible is incorrect in a lot of areas. And I consider him to be a total idiot. The Bible, if it ever said it one time, it still says it today. He promised he's coming back just like he said. That don't need amending. That just needs us getting ready to get out of here. Singer, buddy.
High upon a mountain, from where he ascended, the angel of the Lord declared that it would be. He said, don't you stand here grieving, 'cause this one that you see leaving, in like manner's coming back, just like he said.
Believe he's coming back like he said. I believe a trumpet's gonna sound so loud, it'll resurrect their dead. Yeah.
Do you believe it with all your heart? Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We have a special brother, Brandon. He's going to bless us with a song this morning. And well, we just certainly appreciate our brother and what he is the gift that the Lord's put in his life to play and sing. Just a wonderful, wonderful brother in the Lord. And we appreciate him, don't we?
Amen.
Hey, we sure do. Brother Brandon, God bless you as you sing for us today.
Try to get the microphone high enough this time. This is just a simple little song that my wife and I wrote. I believe y'all can learn it real quick with us here and have you sing it. It's just called Rejoice in the Lord.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Live every day in thankfulness. His coming is soon. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Live every day in thankfulness. His coming is soon. Rejoice in the Lord always. Whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pleasing in His sight, whatever is beautiful, if anything excellent, let our minds be upon these things. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Live every day in thankfulness. His coming is soon. Rejoice in the Lord always. Whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pleasing in His sight, whatever is beautiful, if anything excellent, let our minds be upon these things. And rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Live every day in thankfulness. His coming is soon. Rejoice in the Lord always. Today is the day that He has made. Rejoice and be glad. For His yes is yes and amen. For He has said. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Live every day in thankfulness. His coming is soon. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Live every day in thankfulness. His coming is soon. Rejoice in the Lord always. Whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pleasing in His sight, whatever is beautiful, if anything excellent, let our minds be upon these things. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Live every day in thankfulness. His coming is soon. Rejoice in the Lord always.
I am redeemed. I think he's got it on the rhythm. A. I told Karen going home last night, I said, after what Brother Donnie's been preaching, you can see why Brother Branham said the disciples and those men were men of few words. If I shut out all the negative stuff that I've ever said, I'd probably be a man of few words myself. But by His grace, I'm on my way. Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. Wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. My shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet.
Chapter 3, verse 1. was to speak to you today on our profession. Our profession. That's not what you do for a living either. It's what you say. It's what you converse about yourself. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren. I love that. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. The word profession means confession. The word subjectively means whom we profess to be ours. And objectively, it means what one professes or confesses. So Jesus then, according to what Paul says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, what we say, what we talk about, Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our, same word again, confession, profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many still needs help in the time of need and trouble? I guarantee you. Why do we need to hold fast to our confession then? What has that got to do with intercessory work before the throne of God? As you realize, when you let go of your proper confession, it limits the ability of the high priest to work for you. Can you imagine then folks around the message who feel like Jesus is no longer on the mercy seat? I feel sorry for him. I really do. But if you hold fast to your profession, just saying, well, I need a high priest, that's not enough. But you must have a profession that lines up with the word, that runs parallel to what he is saying. He can only do for us in heaven what we confess on the earth. And here and here must say the same thing. So if he says you're saved, and you're redeemed, you got eternal life, and you're his, and you're saying, I'm not sure, I'm not sure, I'm not sure, I'm not sure. He can't work on that. He can't say one thing and then say, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I thought you was saved. Forgive me. I was just taking for granted that you was. So what does it do? It puts the whole process of God on complete hold until you get your confession lined up right. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us today. Lord Jesus, we love you today, Father. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can be gathered together again today in the house of God. We're grateful, Lord, that you have allowed us that we can not only assemble in this building, but that we can actually be the house of God, the mystical body joined together in an invisible union by the Holy Ghost. And for that, we are so thankful. And as Paul said it so many, many years ago, holy brethren, holy brethren. When we're saying, how in the world could we be called holy brethren? At one time lost without you, didn't know where we were going, where we were headed, but a transformation took place in our lives. So great that we could be identified and called holy, unreprovable, unblameable, and spotless in your sight. We ask today, Father, that you take your word, speak to us, Lord, anoint me and anoint the people that they might be able to receive, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let me refresh just a little bit today for those that wasn't with us last night, so they won't totally be in the dark of the direction that we wish to go. We'd like to look at the subconscious again today, and before we get to a godly and holy profession. And let me just begin from the medical perspective, and then we'll kind of come back into the line of the word. When you develop a thought, it is analyzed by the conscious mind, which then starts to send electrochemicals within the brain. As the electrochemicals travel through the brain, neutral pathways are opened and the data processes through the brain. As the data travels, additional cells throughout the brain are imprinted with the data being processed. The conscious mind then attaches emotion to the thought based upon its perceived interpretation of the data. This increases the vibration of the thought. At that time, a belief is established. I'll tell you what, I got home last night, I told Carol, I said, you know what I realized in looking at this? I can see why more and more Satan wants to strip emotion from the Word. Because he knows that without the right kind of emotion, even the Word is not as powerful as it should be. No wonder Brother Bam said any religion without emotion needs to be buried. You imagine people who go to church and they sit there and they hear the word, 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 word. There's no emotion. There's no stimulation of revelation. There's nothing that comes. And whenever it's going through their brain and being processed, it's there and it's processed, but there's actually hardly any or no emotion that's attached to that something that they're hearing it. So they hear it over and over and over and over, service and service. They hear tapes the same way, over and over and over and over. It doesn't stir them. It doesn't move them. It doesn't motivate them. I want to be stirred when I hear the word, don't you? I want to be stirred. I want something so attached to it that not only my soul, but even my subconscious, when the data is being processed in my mind, that my subconscious will attach an emotion with that. And whenever I hear it, woo, I say, glory, I remember that. So whenever I hear it again, something similar will respond the same way. Notice what this does to you. Now, this increases the vibration of the thought, and at that time, a belief is established. This belief is then stored in the subconscious mind. This belief could be based on truth, reality, or a lie. It depends on where the thought came from and how it was interpreted. Now, remember, this happens to every one of us, bride, non-bride, you know, whatever denomination, we are a human being. So this happens to us as human beings. This data can then be accessed and utilized in the future by the conscious mind to either support or deny any further thoughts that are inputted into the conscious mind. Now, this is why whenever we have already believed and formatted and formed different beliefs and doctrinal things and even things about ourselves, that we can hear something that is totally contrary to that, but the subconscious is there to protect you once it's there. Now, it may be protecting you with a lie from the truth. Now listen, if the subconscious was so designed so it would only protect you from lies, then you'd be so much the better off. But that's not the way it's designed. The subconscious will take things inputted from the conscious mind. It will form a belief. It will associate what you stand for, what you believe about you, what you believe about God, what you believe about the person sitting by you. And then when something else from the conscious mind comes in, the software kicks in from the subconscious and it's going to protect you. But what it may be protecting you from is actually the truth. And what the subconscious may have formed previously may be nothing but a lie or a fabrication of stuff that is misunderstandings and part truth and part lie. And then once you hear the truth, you say, oh my, praise God, I see it, I see it. But the subconscious is there to protect you. So you'll hear the truth and hear the truth and the subconscious kicking it out, kicking it out, kicking it out. So what you got to do? Overwhelm it. Overwhelm it. Keep hearing it. Keep believing it. Keep professing it until your subconscious gets in line with what's true. Wow. When the conscious mind receives the same input again, it is the job of the subconscious mind to locate and provide that data which was stored previously. Send it back to the conscious mind with an emotion of some type included, which was also stored previously with the data. And you think about it, you and I just think every day, this happens every day of our life. We never even realized what was going on. How could this have happened to me for 56 years without my permission? How in the world could this been going on every day of your life and you didn't even know nothing about it? God made a wonderful thing when he made a man, didn't he?
Now notice then this, now when you see what, then once we've received things in us about God, about truth, about ourselves, about people around us, then those things are wrong or partially wrong. And then we go to hearing truth and we say, well, I'm going to change. Can't you see why it's not so easy for our subconscious to be changed? We've trained it for maybe years. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've got things and beliefs and opinions that have been formed in you when you were little bitty things. And yet to try to break that away, and you hear quote after quote, scripture after scripture, and think, why don't it do it away? It's because you're hearing it through the ministry on a conscience level. Or you're hearing it straight from the tapes on a conscience level. But you're not allowing it to go down in there and eradicate that old belief that is still binding you. Now watch what happens. Now remember, this is from a medical point of view, and I proved it to you last night that Brother Branham set forth exactly the same thing. That the way to break this is what they call affirmations with the subconscious. Affirmations are short phrases that are repeated over and over again. The main objective of affirmations is to program your subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is also sublime. That it is, now notice what it does. That it never ever questions your instructions and never has alternative ideas to the subconscious mind. Whatever you say goes. Now when you're inputting into your subconscious mind, whatever you form and you repeat it over and over and over again, that becomes law to your subconscious mind. So if you tell your mind, Brother Donnie don't like me, Brother Donnie don't like me, Brother Donnie don't like me, it don't make no difference how much I tell you that I love you, I would do anything for you, you'll never believe me as long as your subconscious mind tells you I don't like you. It's the same way with God. God can tell you by ministry. He can tell you by the Spirit in your heart. He can tell you over and over again, I love you. I died for you. I come to set you free. But as long as your subconscious believes God does not like you, you'll never get anywhere with God. Praise the Lord. Now, watch. Our challenge, therefore, is to bypass the conscious mind. To gain direct access to the subconscious mind. The first is to repeat the affirmation or be exposed to the affirmation so many times that the conscious mind cannot intercept and reject them all. So what you want to do is absolutely flood your mind with the Word of God. Now don't get in your mind, friend, I'm talking about, you know, all new houses and lands and cars and I'm going to be this and that and the other. And for some of you ugly people, you can say you're pretty all day and all month and all year. More than likely in a year from now, you'll be even uglier. Because I ain't talking about such stuff as that. There's no promise in the Word where all ugly people is going to be pretty till the change. You that's got brown hair and you want black, you say, I'm going to have black hair, I'm going to have black hair. You can say it till you're black in the face and you won't have black hair unless you dye it. Because that's not what the promise of the Word is given for. The promise in the Word covers everything we have need of. Wants and desires and all that lays outside the confines of this promise of the Word of God. Now notice then what must be fed into the subconscious mind to bypass the first conscience is the promises of God and fed in such a steady stream that the conscious mind is not powerful enough to stop them from coming through. Oh my, another good reason to go to church is hear it over and over and over and over again. Now notice then what happens. So the conscious mind cannot intercept and reject them all. Another method is to use affirmations at a time when the conscious mind is less active and the mind generally is much more receptive. The best times are just before sleep and just after awaking. Saying confirmations until you. Now watch, you're going to say these things, promises of the Word. By His stripes, I'm healed. By His stripes, I'm healed. He is my deliverer. He is my Savior. He is my King. He is my all. Which do you think can make you a better Christian? Right before you go to sleep, He is my deliverer, He is my King, He is my all in all, He's everything I have need of, He is my peace, He's my joy, He's my aura, oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do, oh God, I don't, oh God, oh God, oh God, and then in your subconscious when you drift off to sleep, oh God, it's impossible, oh I don't know how it's going to work out, oh God, I don't know what it's going to do, all night, your subconscious, while your first conscience is inactive, your subconscious, oh God, I don't know how it's going to do, and your subconscious is, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you, the last thought that you think about in your night before you go to sleep is some worry, some trouble, some frustration, some doubt, or something that really you can't even change no way? And yet that's the last thought in your mind that you imprint upon your subconscious. And for many of you, it's the first thing you think about when you wake up at 3, 3:15, 4:20, 5:10, and when you finally get up at 6. And then you wonder why you're so sad. Check the loins of your mind. Now watch this. Oh, I forgot to tell the devil. Oh, excuse me. If I was you, I'd go ahead and ease out right now. It's going to be bad for you today. If you think this is bad now on the medical part, you wait till we get to the word. So you can go ahead and ease out. Brother Daniel will let you out the door there. If you want to go, go ahead. Thank you, brother. Now watch. So the subconscious mind, hearing these things over and over again, whether it's good or it's bad, the subconscious does not have logic. Now even if it's make-believe, the subconscious can take make-believe and make a permanent belief in your heart of make-believe. Right. That's why some of you still wonder if there's a Santa Claus or not. You still wonder about things that you'd be surprised. How many folks that still wonder about fairies and wonder about all kinds of things? It was imprinted from you from Cinderella when you was a little girl. And if you're not careful, you'll associate God in the same way. You say, a Christian can be sitting here today with that? It'd probably be surprising if God would lay open all of our subconscious and we'd look inside of there. It'd probably be embarrassing, some of the things that many of us adults still hold in our subconscious to this very day. Now watch, the important thing is to drive the message home to the subconscious mind. Affirmations must always be repeated in the present tense. Notice now. And must be short. For example, I feel completely healthy, or I am loved, I will make it through this, and so on. Now notice what happens. And you imagine these doctors and the people who study the psyche, the mind, and all of that, that they have broken into an understanding. It's not good enough to say, I will be, or I hope so, or I'm believing that it will. But to say it as if though it is already here. Isn't that the very thing that the Word of God and the prophet of God taught us? Go ahead and go off this platform acting like you are already healed. That it is a present tense. Why? Because it brings something to you. It brings a positive affirmation in your faith that God doesn't have to create healing. Healing is already here. The only thing I need to do is walk into it in my body and it will be mine. The subconscious mind, although very powerful, is very simple in the way that it perceives things and is easily confused. Affirmations, therefore, must be short, unambiguous, and few in number. No more than 10 very closely related affirmations should be therefore used. Let me show you how powerful your subconscious is. They go in and do all kinds of tests into these pre-graduate college kids. Simply filling out questionnaires. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to move here? Are you going to get married? How many kids you want? So on and so on and so on and so on. While they're doing that, one of the people giving the test comes in with a briefcase. Sets it down on a table so all of those kids can see it. Nothing is said. No impression is made. All of a sudden, each of those young people become more aggressive. They become more competitive. And those who are examining their tests go back and see exactly where each one was at when the briefcase was brought in. Because it imprinted something. Now they're competitive. Why? Businessman. Briefcase. So they take some more into another room. Ask them similar questions. They take a pail of water and put lemon scent. Real clean smelling lemon scent. And they hide the pail of water. And then these young people are asked these similar questions. At the end of the questionnaire, they offer each one of them a little snack, a little cake, cracker type thing, messy. They do this intentionally. Each one of them that was in the room that smelt this lemon fragrance, each one of them picked up every little bit of crumb and cracker off of that snap. Now they do the exact same test except they leave the pail of water out. The lemon fragrance, the clean, the smell. Those kids walk off and leave the crackers and the crumbs on their table. Now in their subconscious, it picks it up. Now it must be an ambiguous, remember. It cannot be a suggestion because the conscience will pick it up. So the conscience will be going to say, what are you doing that for? Hey, what are you doing? You're trying to affect me. But the subconscious works. Don't you see, friend? You say, I listen to tapes and I don't get nothing out of it. Keep listening to them. You think cause your old conscious mind ain't getting nothing. Keep playing them tapes. So they ask another group of these kids to tell things that they had morally done wrong, to write them down. At the end of this, they offer them one or the other, a hand wipe or a pencil. Every one of these kids who told something wrong they had done, ask for the hand wipe. And over again, they took that hand wipe and wiped their hands until it was totally dry and rid of its alcohol. Why? The subconscious soul pulled up the moral wrong they had done. They were trying to wash themselves. Don't you sit here and look at me and try to project to me this don't affect you. This is you as well as it is them. This is all of us. This is why we are the way we are. Now notice then, so can these positive promises in the Word of God change those embedded, hidden secrets about who every one of us are? Most definitely. Now it's very powerful in the way that we're able to relate to it. So let's jump down here to this other paragraph. The three further aspects of making affirmations much more powerful, which can make the difference between them working or not working, is belief, gratitude, and emotion. You must believe that the object of your wishes is here now. You must believe, notice this now, that it is here now, which it really is. And it is merely waiting to arrive into your life. Another is gratitude. Always feel grateful that you have already received and are enjoying the object of your desires. Emotion is extremely powerful because it raises your vibrational state, making the process much faster and more efficient. Feel therefore how happy you are to be in possession of your desires. And remember, this ain't a message quote. This ain't from the Bible. This is from people who have studied these things and figured out how we are. Then what if we take that very same process and apply it to the Word of God? Then if you're healed, you act like you're sick. If you're bound by something, you act like you're delivered, no matter what you need. Now let's read the scripture we closed with last night in Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. Notice Paul. As Paul writing here to this brethren, he tells the brethren, verse 7, that the people were so affected and so refreshed by this brother's presence. But here in verse 6, he says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual, which is powerful and active, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So here, Paul breaks into an understanding of acknowledging what is in us. Now notice, he didn't say every fault that you have. We all know the power of that. You sit around and talk about all of your faults and all your mistakes and feel what a smile that puts on your face. Feel how uplifted you are mentioning all of your failures. Come on, you know better as well as I do. Don't do that. It has a negative effect on us. When we think about our failures, we think about our shortcomings. How could have I done that? How could have I believed that? How could have I done this way? It never encourages you. It will always discourage you. So if those things discourage us, then Paul seemed that there was a flip side to that, that acknowledging every good thing in us has a way of making our faith more effectual. It makes it more powerful. It makes it more active. Oh my. Why? Because you're talking about the good things that are in you. As I've been studying this week, the Lord actually let me have quite an experience with Him in the presence of His Word. And it was just like these things begin to explode as I started reading in the scriptures and just looking in the scriptures. And it's like his presence just come down where I was and started, you know, just helping me. And no doubt there's many more other brothers, of course, more gifted than myself would be able to bring. But I'd like to share with you today some of the things that are, I feel, positive affirmations for children of God. And I'll just name them one or two words, and then we'll take the scriptures so you'll have a scriptural basis. These will be on the website where you can get them. If you don't have access to print them off, Brother Jim, I'm going to give you more work. If you want them and you ain't got a printer, then the brothers in the library will print them for you. I want you to get them. I want you to say them. I want you to eat them. I want you to talk them. I want you to live them. I want you to believe them. And if it don't change you, then God is a liar. Which is totally impossible. If you'll take this word and apply it to your life, Lord have mercy. There ain't no telling what we're fixing to experience on this hill. Now watch. I am forgiven. Now let's start very basic and very simple. I'm forgiven. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I am forgiven. I'm not who I used to be. I am forgiven. I am not a little bit forgiven. I am not partially forgiven. I am forgiven. Can I get it out of my mind? Oh no, but that's not what important. He got it out of his mind. Hallelujah. I am forgiven. Oh, what if something's aggravating you and the devil's haunting you over a past sin or a past mistake and you've fully repented and asked God to forgive you and that thing haunts you when you go to bed, it haunts you in your dreams, then let this be your positive affirmation as you doze off into sleep. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. You cannot condemn me anymore, Satan. After this day, I am forgiven. It is my confession. It's who I am. It is what my high priest is going to work on. I am not condemned. I am not lost. I am forgiven. Notice Colossians chapter 2 verse 13. And you being dead in sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now remember, make these things short. They don't have to be long to be powerful. If you could get this today, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you could grasp this, those of you present and those of you streaming this service, that you are forgiven, your life will never be the same again. It don't have to be 47 pages of quotes. It has to be that positive affirmation from the promise of the Word. This is not based on some other great speaker. This is based upon God's Word. I'm forgiven. And because I'm forgiven, I'm saved. I'm saved. Ephesians 2 verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That not of yourselves, so it has nothing to do with what you did, and you cannot undo what he has already done. So glory to God, it's not saved as long as I'm a good person. It's not saved until I make a mistake. I am saved. It is the gift of God. I don't receive it based upon my works. I don't receive it based upon my prayer life. I receive it based upon a divine gift from a divine God to a divine attribute under divine love to administer divine grace to bring divine redemption to the divine people of God to put them in a divine rapture. Hallelujah. I'm saved. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I'm saved. And I'm redeemed. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I was in the pawn shop, but I ain't no more. And I ain't never going back again. I'm redeemed from that old man. I'm redeemed from that nature. I'm redeemed from the law of sin. I'm redeemed from the law of death. Revelation 5:9, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. I am redeemed. And because I'm saved and elected and all that, I am justified. As if though I never even did it in the first place. I am justified. I am released from that old union to that first husband. I wasn't married to him in the first place. I wasn't married to that old nature. Oh my, there was something down inside of my soul, a predestinated seed of God. I am released from that union. It's nowhere on the books of God. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I am bought and purchased. Of course, on second thought, I don't know if anybody could sleep or not saying all this before you went to bed. You might be up shouting. Glory! This is spell medicine, ain't it? I mean, this caused you to have a Holy Ghost spell. I'm forgiven. I'm justified. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. Notice Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves with all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Is anybody here going to tell me this is not my handkerchief? Are you going to tell me this is not my belt? I can take you to the suit store in South Carolina where Brother Fred Mullins lives. I guarantee you that salesman there will remember me because he knows I'm a preacher. If you'd like to go with me, I can have a witness to prove to you I bought this belt. And the black man that's a manager in there and that black lady that always helps me pick out my suits and my ties, I'm sure she'd say, brother, I remember you buying that. So are you or anybody else going to tell him he did not buy this people? Glory to God. Is there any devil out of hell? Are you going to let your flesh stand in the very presence of God and tell him he did not buy you? You want witnesses? How many do you want? You want them from the earth? You want them from hell? You want them from heaven, because he's got them from all three realms. Hallelujah! Angels could say, yes, he bought them. Satan could say, yes, he bought them. And he could say, yes, I bought them. So if he bought me, I'm his. So if he wants to wipe his brow with me, fine. If he wants to throw me in the floor, fine. I am his. I belong to him. This handkerchief don't belong to itself. It belongs to me. If you come up and need a prayer cross, I can give you this handkerchief if I wish to, because it is mine. When Satan tries to talk you into doing wrong, you need to remind him of the simple handkerchief story. I am not my own. I'm bought with a price. Notice this in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 7:23, ye are bought with a price. Be not servants of men. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also ye believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So I'm bought. And now that I'm bought, my body is a temple of God. My body is his gathering place. That's why I got to live holy, act holy, walk holy, talk holy, conduct myself in a holy way. Because my body is his temple. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for ye are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Verse 16, know ye not that your temple, you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Chapter 6, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? I am his temple. Some of your brothers come in here that wear a hat. One of the first things, I've noticed it over and over again, brothers come into the church, one of the first things they do, take their hat off. If they forget about it, I feel so bad. Oh my, I feel so bad. I didn't take my hat off in the church. What if we would do that to this place? What about this? How we ought to honor, respect, how we ought to live the right kind of life, because this is the temple where God lives. Then I am his temple. Listen now. I have eternal life. John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. St. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. Now, do you believe God's an Indian giver? God gives it and then takes it and then gives it and then takes it and then gives it and then takes it and then gives it according to your obedience and according to how good you are and all that sort of thing. God gives and takes and gives and takes. If he ever gives, he never takes back. Amen. If God ever gives you eternal life, and not a lot, but if his own being is inside of you, it is yours because it always was yours. Amen. Amen. You are identified. Then my friend, why do we worry over death? Why do we fear over circumstances around us? Oh God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen out yonder, but I do know what's going to happen in here. I do know if I live this word and obey this word, God will make my body obey this word. But instead, folks come to church. You saved? I don't know. You bride? I don't know. You happy? No, I definitely ain't happy. What's the problem? I don't know. You believe the message? I don't know. Well, what do you know? Sitting right where the fountain is pouring out. I could understand it if we just had our cups up and like every 13 or 14 years, a drop would just... Boom. And then we'd have to go. Oh, that'll have to do me until about 2018, maybe. Come on, brother. Why don't you come where we drink? vitamin B6, phosphates, electrolytes, vitamin C, vitamin A. You know the great thing about this Gatorade is, if I drink it all, there's much, many more bottles in the refrigerator in my office. And if I run out of there, there's more in storage over there. Oh, glory, friends. We ain't going to exhaust the presence of God. We're not going to exhaust the joy of God. We're not going to exhaust the peace of God. If you drink out of your little bottle, don't worry. There's more to go around. He's got more peace. He's got more joy. Eternal life is not something you're going to get after a while. It is already yours. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I have access. I have access to God, to grace, to mercy. Three simple words. I have access. Romans 5:2. By whom also we have access by faith into His grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now every one of us here today, no doubt, are U.S. citizens. You're Americans. Just because you're an American don't mean you have access to the Supreme Court where the judges are going to hear cases. Any of you might leave today and drive up to Washington, D.C. and say, well, I'm an American citizen. I want to see the president. I'm an American citizen. It's my right. I want to be able to go. I want to sit down and talk to Obama about a few things. And I want to go over here to, you know, the Congress. And I want to talk to this man and that man and that man. You do not have access to them just because you're an American citizen. But you do have access to the King of Glory. Because you are a citizen of His economy. It makes no difference whether you're rich or poor, whether you're famous or not so famous. It makes no difference whether you're a preacher's kid or a deacon's kid or a drunk's kid. It don't make no difference to God. Every one of us have access. And let me tell you how that access works. It ain't three times a week. It ain't just on Sunday morning. It's any time you need it, 24 hours a day. I have access. Ephesians 2:18, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You imagine God running this great company, the CEO of Eternal Life. Can you imagine the CEO of GE, the CEO of Whirlpool, the CEO of Lowe's, or the CEO of Home Depot, Walmart, Kmart? And you say, I want to talk to the CEO of Walmart. Yeah, right. What size jacket you wear? But here's the CEO of the universe. The CEO of eternal life. And you don't have to go through an angel and another angel and another angel and another angel and then Mary and then Joseph and then Saint Bartholomew and Saint so-and-so and Saint so-and-so and then wait to the top of the line. And then there's Brother Branham and there's Brother Joseph and there's Billy Paul and there's Brother Donnie and there's Brother so-and-so. You've got direct access yourself. You don't have to come through Brother Donnie. You don't have to come through, oh my, there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. You have access to the throne of God for whatever you need. The next time this liar tells you God don't hear your prayers, you remind him, I have access. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. And this is how I do, because I've got His faith. By the faith of Him, not my faith. Amen. Hold on, everybody. I am inseparable from Christ. Neither death nor life. Nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature. Paul said, if I left out anything, let me bring it under these last terms, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're in Him, you are inseparable. Oh, glory! At one time you were separate from God, but if you are joined in Christ Jesus, you are inseparable. Then how can you let the devil tell you, oh, God don't hear you no more. God ain't around you no more. You remember, you are inseparable from Christ. But Brother Donnie, I don't feel Him. That has nothing to do with it. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I don't feel saved. That has nothing to do with it. You and He are inseparable. I am more than a conqueror. I am not a survivor. You've heard me say it before. When we get there that day, the Lord Jesus is not going to hand us a "I survived Laodicea" t-shirt. I don't want to be a survivor. I want to be a conqueror. Not only do I want to be a conqueror, I want to be more than a conqueror. Now, I'm not just going to be a survivor that barely hangs on and, oh, Jesus, I made it. Boy, old devil liked to beat me to death, Lord, but I finally made it. Man alive, am I glad to be here. Boy, I tell you, Lord, I didn't think I was ever going to get here. I'm telling you what, it was one great fight, Lord, from day in and day out. I never seen a beat in my life. This Bible and all this message and stuff, Lord, it was really nice and all that sort of thing. But I barely made it, Lord. I want you to know, this is a serious thing. I barely made it. But I'm going to walk down them streets, and I want to have a divine air about me. I don't want to just act like I barely made it, because I didn't just barely make it. Because I'm more than a conqueror. Anybody believe this? For goodness sakes, don't say this all in one night. You'll be up all night long. Notice this. Paul says in Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things, we are more. To be a conqueror over everything would be wonderful. But to be more than? More than? So you're a conqueror and then you're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Friend, tell me, what can stop us? If this word of God comes in our soul, in our subconscious, and we've got a new birth, and this is our confession, what can stop you? Nothing. Nothing. You will be undefeatable. But Brother Donnie, what if we get discouraged and what if we feel like our strength is all depleted? He will renew my strength. Isaiah 40:29, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now these is believers now. These ain't folks that didn't have no strength, but they needed a renewing. You ever get there in your life? Sure, we all do. You need a renewing in your strength. That don't mean you're backslid. You need a renewing in your strength. You understand, friend? Many folks around the message, I believe that's where they are right now, Brother Jim. It's not they need the Holy Ghost. It's not even really that they need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. They need a renewing of their strengths, of their virtue, of their vision. And this is the way we get it, by feeding on the Word, but not in the conscience level. It must come past the conscious level to where this becomes your diet. I just realized something. I'm preaching myself out of a job. Man, if you people get this, We'll reduce the prayer lines around here. We'll reduce the amount of interviews, Brother Jim. We'll go on vacation. We'll reduce the amount of divorces. We'll reduce the amount of trouble. We'll reduce the amount of fussing and arguing when Christians learn how to take this word and apply it to their life. I just had to cry when he showed me this one. I have value in God's eyes. Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. For ye are of more value than many sparrows. I have value. For those of you who have come from an abusive home, whether verbally, sexually, an abusive marriage, you see, it tends to coincide that for many that will be on that side of it, they will feel they're to blame and they're at fault somehow. We know there's always two sides to it. None of us are free from fault. But yet many will take this upon themselves, and then they look at themselves as of no value. They failed in their childhood, they failed in a marriage, they failed in this and failed in that, in their subconscious. This becomes so imprinted that then they will associate failure with God. No doubt I'll fail him too. No doubt I'll be the one that'll leave. No doubt I'll be the one that'll turn away. Why? Because they feel they have no value. For those who go through deep depression, one of the associates with depression is what? Low self-esteem. Looking at the self that they're of no value. That's why that it can be a handsome man or an attractive woman. And yet whenever they go through depression, they don't comb their hair. They don't take a bath. They don't care what they look like no more. They don't care what their house looks like or their car looks like. Because there's something about where they are. And the things around them have gone down, down, down. That ain't just happening to the house. That ain't just happening to the car. That ain't just happening to her hair or to you, whatever more. It's happening on the inside of you. You are letting Satan devalue you. But let me tell you something, you are of value in the eyes of God. People may look at you and say, oh, you're worthless. That ain't what he said. He loved you so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That ain't even talking about elect class. That's talking about cosmos, world order. Listen, friend, let's not cast them out because they're not in the message. God considered them having a value. God considered these people are here with a value. Let's look at it the same way. I have value. I am worth something. I am accepted. I've always wanted that. All my life. You've heard me tell it over and over again. Many of you have similar stories. We always wanted to be accepted. I could never play sports. I was never good at basketball, baseball, football, soccer, on and on and on and on. I could never do any of that. So I was never accepted in the sports field. I could never do this and that and the other. Always something in me. I wanted to be accepted. And I finally have arrived. I'm accepted. Now I'm not in with the in crowd. I'm not cool with the cool crowd. Because the cool crowd's gonna be the hot crowd after a while. I don't wanna be cool. I wanna be accepted by him. Amen. You may laugh at me and make fun of me and say, boy, he ain't very cool. I ain't trying to be cool. I'm trying to be right. I ain't worried about cool. I'm too old to worry about being cool. I want to be on fire with God and be accepted in his presence. Can you grasp this today? You are accepted for who you are. With your faults, your failures, don't wait till you get perfect to come to God. If he will accept you with all of your faults and all your failures, come to him on that basis. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. the beloved. Made us accepted in the beloved. God will meet my needs. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I am made the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I am the righteousness of God. I'm accepted. I'm redeemed. Lord, children, how in the world can we be depressed if we believe this? How in the world can we walk around like spiritual paupers if we believed it? Now, many of you are grasping it here. That's not it. You've got to say it over and over. Oh, but Brother Don, there's things in my life. Well, make it right. Make it right. Then go on with your profession. I am loved by God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for with his great love wherein he hath loved us. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the perpetuation for our sins. Verse 19, we love him because... You want to know whether God loves you or not? Look, if you love him, it's because he first loved you. You've got this backwards. You're thinking, oh, if I can love him, will he love me? If you really love him, it's because he loved you first. Lord, children, do you hear it? You are loved by God. He not only loves me, he cares for me. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. I'm an overcomer. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I have self-control. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is self-control. Against such there is no law. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So when you say, I can't stop doing this, it overwhelms me, I can't stop doing it, you're confessing a lie. You are feeding your subconscious a lie, and your subconscious will substantiate that as a belief. And then you'll start believing it just as sure and solid as if it were, thus saith the Lord, and it ain't nothing but a lie. Well, my daddy always had a problem with sex. My mom always had a problem with this and another. I guess I will too. Don't feed your subconscious that trash. As a son or daughter of God, you have the promise of self-control to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. 2 Peter 1:5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, again, temperance, self-control. Self-control. Is it going to just stop me from lusting after women? Going to stop me from drinking? It's going to help me bring my mind. Self-control. Don't raise your hand. How many of you Christians today have been around this message for years? How many of you have got self-control? Your eyes, your emotions, your temper, your subconscious. How many of you got self-control? Oh, you can rattle the message and my, you're proud of that. That ain't what I'm talking about. This is the virtues, my friends. Have we got self-control to where we possess our vessel in sanctification and honor? Can you be tempted? Sure you'll be tempted. but I possess this house. These are my eyes as long as I'm in this dirt. These are my hands. These are my feet. They're not taking me to a bar or a honky tonk. If I'm going to do any dancing, it ain't going to be in a bar room floor. It's going to be in the church. If I get drunk, it's going to be on that new wine from Acts 2, not Old Crow. Or Old Kentucky, or Old Bourbon, or Jim Beam, or whoever them guys are. I ain't worried about Jim Beam. I've done got the real beam. The real beam of eternal life. The Lord is my strength. Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Psalm 62:1, through the chief musician, to just doing a psalm of David. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He is my strength. He is my deliverer. 2 Samuel 22:2, and the Lord, and he said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. Psalms 40 and 17. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. 2 Timothy 4:18. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil. Maybe you think you're bringing grace and honor and praise to God by falling into something and then repenting from it. I'd rather be saved from it initially. The Lord has made a way. He's put, you know, propitiation for our sins if we fall short of the glory of God. But friends, how, what a great thing it is to, before you ever walk into something, the Spirit of God is there to spare you. The Lord shall deliver me. Can Paul really mean this? From every? He didn't mean every other one. Or every fourth or every fifth one. He actually meant that, Brother Terry, that the Lord would deliver him from every evil work. Are we living here? Can I read a couple more? He will strengthen me. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of the glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Not by your intellect, not by your ability, but by his Spirit in the inner man. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. He is my defense. Psalm 62:2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. He is my refuge. Psalms 91:2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. He is my peace. Ephesians 2:14. He is our peace, who hath both made one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Thank God. He is my mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Hebrews 9:15. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament. Let me close. He will work all things for my good. On second thought, maybe y'all should start saying this about 5 a.m. Maybe by bedtime you'll be wound down enough to where you can go to sleep. You'll have shouted enough all day, you'll be just tuckered out. You know, you'll be warped plumb out. Romans 8:28, for we know all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I am his workmanship. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. I got to read another one. He will complete me. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun, amen, begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. I will not complete this work. You will not complete this work. He will complete me. Ephesians 5:26, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. Look at these next two words. Unblameable. Unreprovable. In the sight of everybody around you? In your sight? In his sight. He will complete me. In his sight I am holy. In his sight I am true. In your sight I may be a scarred up human being with failures and faults, and I am. But that ain't what I'm wanting to see. I want to see his sight. He will complete me. He's promised it by the Spirit. Whatever's lacking in me today, if there's a million tons of things that needed to be added to my spiritual wall before I go by the way of the grave or the rapture, he will complete that. If he has to complete it 5 minutes before I die, and it may go in God's Guinness's World Book of Records, it was the fastest completion of a mortal ever made on the earth, the last 30 seconds of his human life, I finished everything that needed to be done in him. He will do it. Why? Because he took on the obligation when he married me to complete me. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all you saints, all his saints. Now the God of peace that brought again the dead, from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now you can't bit more remember these than I can, and I'm the one to preach them to you. I couldn't go back and recall in order what I just said. Thank God for printers. And if you're having a problem with one or many of these avenues, post it on your steering wheel. When you go out to milk old Bessie in the morning, stick a little yellow green post-it note over Bessie's head. When you get ready to go on your machine in the morning and start your milling and making this and that and the other, have one of these things. He is my defense. He is my protector. Can't you imagine how all of these we could go on with three words? He is my, he is my, he is my, he is my. Oh, hallelujah. I'm sure you get an understanding of what he wants us to be. Can you imagine if we fill our first conscience and our subconscious with all of these things, and you've got a soul filled with the Holy Ghost? It ain't no wonder the devil's fought me like everything to try to get me to keep from preaching this. Too late now, devil! Too late now, devil! It's done out! It's not out. It's God's word. It'll come to pass. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, considering the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now this is what Jesus says in heaven about you. I'm your God, I'm your King, I'm your deliverer, I'm your husband. And then he goes in a more intimate level in the Song of Solomon. And he has it said in bride form, I am my beloved's, and he is mine. His desire is toward me. Can you really believe that? Can you believe you have value in God's eyes? Let me say it to you this way. You have value in our eyes. You have value in our eyes as a body. It makes no difference if you make $10,000 a year or $3 million. To me as your pastor, you stand on exactly the same level. If you drop $10 a week in the tithing offering, that's what you pay. Or if you pay $3,000. Since I don't keep up with that, I have no idea who pays what. But if you're so poor, y'all have to go through a drive-thru after church on Sunday and divide a children's meal at McDonald's. Or you're able to go to the most expensive restaurant in Johnson City and sit down and buy whatever you want, not even really look at the price on the menu. Just order what you want. To me, I look at you the same way. And this is what's even greater. The Lord Jesus looks down at you. Maybe you got a hole in your sock and you put your shoe on this morning. You say, man, I wouldn't want nobody to see that. Or maybe you put on socks, so expensive, nice shoes, really nice high dollar suit. He don't look at you no different. Aren't you glad? He just looks at you and cares. He's the kind of papa that can have millions of young ones. And he's able to make every one of them feel like they're an only child. Thank you, Lord. Only God can do that. And if you come from a big family and there's one child out of there that was basically treated like an only child, that's kind of a bad deal. But when God treats every one of his kids like they're only children, don't you sit there and tell me you don't think that. Sure you do. You say, that sermon was just for me. 283 people told me the same thing. But you know what? He had a way of making it so personal to you that you thought, he's speaking directly to me. And no doubt, he was. He cares for you. But Brother Donnie, I've got so many terrible sins. I've got told him so many. So what are you going to do? You going to wallow in that? You're going to feed your subconscious how sorry you are, how rotten, how no good, how undeserving, all of that sort of thing. Or are you going to let God change you? Amen. Praise God. When I preach about drinking, it don't affect me because I don't drink. I preach about smoking, preach about many other things. I mean, those things don't affect me. But I don't know when I've had such a series to affect me. To go to Donnie 2. Donnie 1 and Donnie 2. Subconscious. You know, to help me. All I can say is, church, y'all better get ready. Because I got a feeling your pastor's fixing to turn inside out. I want to be a new person. I want to be a new person. Before I'm a new person. I want to be changed before I get changed. You understand what I'm saying? Don't you? I don't want to just hear these things. I want to be a new person. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, I know I've given them a great deal today. And I know that they can't comprehend it any more than I can, all at one time in one setting. But Lord Jesus, may we be able to ruminate as sheep do. Go back and listen to it and take these scriptures and print them out and look at them. As Carol told me last night, I want every one of them scriptures. I want to read them and read them and read them. No wonder Brother Branham would tell us to take your word and say it over and over again. And our carnal mind, until we really believe it. So we take this word and just say it over and over again. Until it goes down into the man in the engine room. That man in the engine room begins to comply with what the first conscience is hearing preached. Which is compared to what the man up in heaven is saying. Then we'll get the things that we've longed for. I've always known there were keys to understanding you.
You've given me different ones in life that would help me as an individual, and then you've given me ones to preach, I believe, that would be a help to some of your children. But I believe this is another key to unlock our personal walk. It's not that we'll take these things and start going into the medical center and cleaning out the medical center and all the nursing homes. Lord, I figure if I can clean out my subconscious first, that would actually do more good than if I would have power granted to me today to walk in the medical center and clear it out. If I could walk over to Wellmont, if I could go over to Kingsport and go in all them hospitals and just take a stroll down through there and empty every floor, a lot of them people will be back in there by the next week because things that they're doing is harming their health and the way they think. So what benefit would it be really? But if I could get my subconscious reprogrammed, as it were, let me update my operating system, my OS. As Windows comes out, Lord, when they first started, and then they come out with another and another and another, and constantly updating and changing. Lord, I pray that we'd be able to take our OS, our operating system of our subconscious. May it be changed, updated to being Word-based, Word-oriented. Oh, grant it, Lord. I don't want to be a Windows 95 guy. Here we are years and years later. I don't want to be one, Lord, that's just stuck back with an old subconscious of 25, 30 years ago. Update me, Lord. I've got a lot of hurts, a lot of scars, like most everybody else standing here today. We can either let them scars ruin us, or we can be healed and delivered. Lord Jesus, may you minister to every heart today. I'm not preaching them into a human utopia on this earth where they never fight battles. They will. But they'll fight them like a David meeting a Goliath instead of the other way around. Many of our battles has been as if though Goliath had the upper hand. But Lord, we want to face our battles, our sickness, our struggles, our difficulties, armed and ready to defeat the enemy at any place, at any time. Transform us, Lord Jesus. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. I am redeemed, Harry. I am redeemed. I'm saved. I'm bought. I have eternal life. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm born again. I'm bride. I'm going in the rapture. And if Satan attacks me with sickness, I'm going to get the upper hand. I'm going to be made well. If he attacks me with a disease, unless it's the will of my Father to leave this world in the form of that disease, I will get over it. I may get knocked down, but I won't stay down. I may get weary, come on, but I won't stay weary. I may lose part of my strength, but I won't stay that way because he will renew it. Let's sing together. Sing it, hey. Let's worship him. Praise the Lord.
I am redeemed.
Think about what you're singing now.
You set
me free, Lord. So what you gonna do, church?
So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every
sin. Oh yes, Lord.
I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Oh, hallelujah! Praise the Lord.
So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain.
Yes, my Lord.
I'm not who I used to be.
Oh no, Lord.
I am.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we raise our hands in His presence now? Let's just worship Him now, saints.
Tonight.
you're saved.
All
you're
I
redeemed.
Could see was
you've got eternal life.
Struggle.
He's your deliverer. He's your king. He's your peace. He's your God.
Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past.
Bound up
with shackles of all
my failures. Hallelujah.
Wondering how long is this going to
last.
Then you look at this prisoner.
Hallelujah.
And say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been
won.
Voice of my shame and regret.
Hallelujah.
But when I hear you whisper,
child,
lift up your
head.
I remember,
oh God,
you're not done with me yet,
Lord. Hallelujah.
I am
every chain,
wipe away
every stain.
I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Let me give you a simple illustration of who and what you are today. In every one of our lives, we ought to be signs of road construction. You know how it is when you pass certain streets in Johnson City or Elizabeth or the interstate. They'll give you warnings. Road construction 5 miles ahead. And you say, oh no. Oh no. You go to typing in on your GPS or looking. Is there a way around this? Is there a way around this? And then you see the traffic starting to slow down. Right lane closed ahead 1 mile. Traffic starts backing up. Right lane closed ahead 0.5 mile. Right lane closed ahead 1,500 feet. Everything comes to a standstill. So you start texting people. I'm going to be late. I'm sorry, Brother Gary. I can't meet you there at 12 o'clock. Road construction going on. You understand that's what you are? The road construction started when you started and got saved. You know how it is when you come to great big jobs to have the governor of Tennessee and so much money, so many $1 million to spend so-and-so, start on so-and-so projected date, May the 26th, 2014. And you're thinking, oh no, you mean I'm going to have to drive in this? Well, your sign would say, under the governorship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Construction began on this human being. Are full of potholes, full of ruts, full of all kinds of things in their life. Price paid by my blood, paid in full. No increase of taxes, no levies, no charges when done. Begin day, when they give their heart to me. Finish day, 13 minutes, 27 seconds before the change. You know what? Construction zones are dangerous zones. Don't you understand why people get hurt when they come to churches? They enter construction zones. So you're under construction, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me, and you, and you, and you. And then people come into church and, man, they're looking for a utopia. Oh, wow. You're looking for crackheads. This is the wrong place. Every person in here, friend, is under construction. That means their life is in a dangerous time. So don't expect them to be perfect. Construction zones are messy. And they're very dangerous. People get killed every year on construction sites and construction zones. So move with caution around one another. Hey, I'm under construction. You're under construction. Drive with caution. Don't expect that person to be the, you know, the four-lane highway with perfect pavement. That's not the way it is. Each one of us are under construction. Some of us got big potholes. Others of us got big caved-in places. But all of us are under construction. But there won't be one of us that the construction will not be completed. You love Him? Isn't He wonderful to us? Oh, thank you, Lord. I hope this was a blessing to you today. Who am I? We sing together, Who Am I, as we get ready to go. Service Wednesday night. Appreciate you for being here today. Trust you'll be able to, when you walk out those doors, take something home with you that you can apply to your life. It'll make you a better person, a better husband. There's many, many things that we could say this way. If you're struggling being a housewife, let this be what you say when you go to bed at night. I can be the wife God wants me to be. I can be the husband. I can be the teenager. Whatever you need, make your confession that. It's what His promises are here for. When I think of how He came so far from glory, He came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself this question. Who? Let's sing it together. Go with that on your heart. Tell me who.